فرمانده سلام از این نسل غیور جامانده سلام فرمانده سید علی دهه نودی هاشو فراخوانده سلام فرمانده.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. سلام علیکم children. Do you remember how Sayyid Ali had been injured? Well, he was much better now. But there was another difficult test that the Islamic Revolution was just about to face. In a little village along the border of Iran, a little boy was playing in the calm street near his home. The sun was setting and birds were flying home to rest. Suddenly, a very loud sound made him stop in his tracks. He had never heard anything like it before. Could it be thunder? He looked up at the sky as it filled with smoke. The birds were gone. His eyes grew wide and his hands went cold.
Amir Ali, inside the house, quick!
His mama called urgently. She grabbed his hand and rushed to the basement of their home. Iraq had just attacked Iran. War had begun. The Iraqi soldiers had crossed the border into Iran. They wanted to take land that did not belong to them. In the big city Tehran, Sayyid Ali heard the news. He couldn't sleep. He was so worried about the children and families under fire. The Air Force commanders came to meet Sayyid Ali. Their faces were pale and serious, and they spoke in hushed voices.
Agha Khamenei, we have a big problem. We're missing spare parts for most of our planes. If we fight in this war, our planes will last a month at most, maybe less.
Sayyid Ali's heart sank. Only a month? He knew the enemy had more planes, more weapons, more money. America and Israel and other powerful countries were helping them. How could Iran fight with almost nothing? He went straight to Imam Khomeini. He explained the situation with a lump in his throat. But to his surprise, his teacher responded calmly.
Don't worry. Allah is with us. Go ahead and defend the country. Do your best with full trust in Allah.
How could he be so sure? Sayyid Ali wondered. But when he saw the leader's eyes shining with faith, his heart felt calm. He returned to the commanders and spoke to them. The lump in his throat had now disappeared.
Go. Imam Khomeini said, do your best with what we have and then leave the rest to Allah.
The commanders looked at each other, their eyes wide in amazement. They had expected him to panic and decide to give up. They straightened their slumped shoulders and clenched their fists.
Yes, Agha.
And you know what, children? The engineers worked day and night on those planes. And with Allah's help, those planes, the ones that should have lasted only a month, continued to fly for many, many years. But not long after, while the war continued, Iran faced yet another difficult test. The president was bombed and killed. Imam Khomeini called Sayyid Ali to his simple room.
Sayyid Ali,
he told him,
the people need a good leader. I am asking you to run for president.
Sayyid Ali's right arm throbbed with pain. He knew being president would mean long hours of work and very little rest. It was a hard task and a very heavy responsibility. But he looked at Imam Khomeini's firm face and took a deep breath.
I will do it,
he said simply. Helping the people was more important than his own comfort. the people of Iran voted for him happily. They loved him. They had seen how hard he had worked and how much he cared about them. Now, most presidents sit in big offices and give orders from behind a desk. But Sayyid Ali was not like that. As soon as he could, he put on an army uniform. The uniform was a bit big and it hung loosely on his thin body. But that wasn't important.
"I am going to the front lines of the war,"
he told his advisors.
"But you are the president,"
they said.
"It is too dangerous."
Sayyid Ali shook his head.
"If I ask young men to risk their lives, I must be willing to risk mine too."
"But do you even know how to fight? You're a scholar."
Sayyid Ali laughed softly.
"This scholar can use a gun quite well. And as for the rest, well, I'm a good student. I learn quickly, inshallah."
On the front lines, Sayyid Ali walked amongst the young soldiers. The sharp smell of gunpowder filled the air. Their faces were tired and their clothes were wrinkled, but their red eyes shone bright. He watched as they tied headbands with the names of the Ahl al-Bayt on each other's foreheads. Ya Hussein, Ya Zahra, Ya Abbas. He listened to them reciting Quran deep into the night, soothing their hearts.
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ.
He prayed with them in the midst of the sounds of the warplanes over their heads. He sat on the dusty ground and asked them about their families.
"I miss my little boy, Amir Ali,"
one young father said. Sayyid Ali listened to their worries and gave them hope.
"I know this is hard, to be away from home, to see your friends getting hurt. But Allah is with us. We will definitely win, inshallah."
Then he asked cheerfully,
"Don't you want to serve your guest?"
The young man rushed to bring something. Their commander lowered his head.
"Ayatollah Khamenei, we do not have anything nice to serve the president. Just some old bread and cheese."
Sayyid Ali laughed.
"Yum! This reminds me of my own home."
The soldiers stared, then they laughed too. Stale bread was now much tastier. Now, Imam Khomeini could not go to the war front. He was old and his health wasn't in the best state. But he needed to know what was really happening. So Sayyid Ali became the Imam Khomeini's eyes and ears. Every night, he wrote everything down. And then he reported directly to Imam Khomeini.
"The soldiers in the south need more bullets,"
he would say.
"The ones in the west are running out of food."
Sometimes, when he led the Friday prayers in the city, he continued to wear his army uniform under his abba. He would tell the people,
"My dear people, your country needs you. Islam needs you. Even if you have never held a gun, we will train you, inshallah."
Hundreds of people joined. Shopkeepers, farmers, students, even young boys. They put on the white and black jafir around their necks. They were now basijis, meaning soldiers of Islam. They didn't have fancy weapons, but they had something stronger, faith in Allah. Months passed, and Sayyid Ali traveled all around the country to help people. One day, Sayyid Ali's jeep passed through Amir Ali's village. The road was bumpy. Everything in the village was now covered in dust. Sayyid Ali saw burned cars and empty houses where families used to live. Amir Ali was standing by a broken wall holding his mama's hand. The jeep stopped and Sayyid Ali stepped out. People stared in awe. Could that be Ayatollah Khamenei? But he was dressed like a simple soldier.
Are you our president?
Little Amir Ali asked, his eyes wide with wonder. Sayyid Ali chuckled softly. Then he knelt down.
I am just a servant of the people,
he said.
Do you know when the war will end? I miss my Baba,
Amir Ali whispered.
The sound of the bombs scares me.
Sayyid Ali felt his throat tighten. He lowered his head and thought of his own little sons at home.
I don't know, my dear, but your Baba and the rest of us will do our absolute best to keep you safe.
Amir Ali's mama's eyes shone with tears, but she did not cry. Instead, she squeezed her son's hand and spoke bravely.
Raise your head, Agha Sayyid. Tell Imam Khomeini we are ready to give everything for Islam. We are the nation of Imam Hussein and Sayyida Zainab.
Sayyid Ali was speechless. This woman was stronger than he had imagined. He hugged Amir Ali tightly and clenched his fist. Then he got back in the jeep and fearlessly drove towards the sound of explosions. One evening, Sayyid Ali's young son, Sayyid Mujtaba, came up to him. He had grown up a little now, but he was still just a teenager.
Baba,
he said,
I want to join the besiegers and fight.
Sayyid Ali's heart stopped for a moment. He put his hand on his young son's shoulder.
Are you sure? It's dangerous, you know.
Sayyid Mujtaba nodded firmly.
I know, Baba. But I want to help protect our Islamic revolution too.
Sayyid Ali was quiet for a minute. Then he smiled proudly.
You have my permission,
he said. Sayyid Mujtaba kissed him gently on his injured hand. And the next morning, his mama dressed him in a uniform.
My du'as are with you,
she whispered. And she kissed his forehead gently. She felt sad, but she didn't show it. The war lasted 8 long years. But the Iranian people did not give up. Now, children, Sayyid Ali was a very important person, but he wanted to serve and help others. He slept on the cold, hard ground with the rest of the people. Has there ever been a time when you did something that felt uncomfortable to help make others comfortable? Like cleaning up a mess you didn't make, or helping someone younger than you because it was the right thing to do? What made you do it?
امام روز دار من شهید تشنه لب امام روز دار من
بابا رو